This is Scott Becker with the Becker Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Mark Breesacker. Dr. Breesacker is the Chief Physician Executive at Intermountain Healthcare. Intermountain Healthcare is one of the largest and most successful health systems in the country, based in Utah, but really working out of the West now, not just Utah. Dr. Breesacker, can you take a moment to introduce yourself? Then we'll talk to you about Intermountain, about the role of Chief Physician Executive, your career, and a lot more. Mark?
Sure, Scott. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm Mark Breesacker. I've been at Intermountain ever since I completed my internship and residency in pediatrics. I grew up in the Midwest, and I can remember telling my mom and dad that, hey, don't worry, we're going out to Salt Lake for my pediatric residency, and we'll be back in 3 years. And that's now almost 30 years ago. So 29 years ago, was in practice
Let me take a second there, because we're in the Midwest. Did you come from? Is the first question.
Yeah, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. I have strong feelings about the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes. And we'll avoid that discussion, because we're Cubs fans and Blackhawks fans and all those things. And we'll avoid that discussion right today. But Mark, let me ask you this question. 30 years. So 30 years, all at Intermountain? Have you been at Intermountain for 30 years?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the pediatric hospital in Salt Lake, Primary Children's Hospital, is an Intermountain hospital. So my very first day as an intern in the newborn ICU was at Primary Children's Hospital. I work for the University of Utah, and it's great medical school and residency programs there. Really have a lot of respect for them. Did a chief year, so 4 years total there, and then started in general pediatric practice at Intermountain Healthcare.
And so take a moment, you've got almost a unique perspective that I don't think Dr. Harrison or anybody else has. Take a moment on 30 years at Intermountain and how different it is today versus 30 years ago. Just give us a moment on that, just the history and what you've seen.
You know, I'd say back in the 90s, Intermountain was really just coming into its own. It began its employed medical group in 1994, the group that I joined in 1996. Prior to then, it was a hospital system with a health plan. The health plan, Select Health, is our health plan, a wholly owned subsidiary. You know, it was formed in 1983. And so I was there really at the start of this integrated delivery network of hospitals, physicians, and health plans. In fact, we used to talk about, I mean, the tagline used to be, you know, hospitals, health insurance, and physicians working together for you. Today we talk about how and really focus on our mission of helping people live the healthiest lives possible. I would say the biggest difference, Scott, over that time is that transformation from a hospital system with a payer to what we are today, which is really an organization that's designed around how we care for people. And we do that in two ways. We keep people healthy. So we are way into population health. We believe in taking full risk for those that we serve. We believe in growing in the right ways in those capabilities. And we're organized, half of our delivery system is organized to make that happen. The other half is organized around for when people get sick, and so that people can count on us to provide the safest, best care to get them back to health, to keep them healthy if they have chronic conditions. And we've really transformed in that way. And it's been great to be part of that.
And take a moment, just give us a sense of it. How many employed physicians today at Intermountain? Is it a closed staff or an open staff? And how many physicians that are not employed are on staff in total if it's an open staff?
So we have an open staff model for our hospitals, and our medical group participates with multiple payers. I think in that way, we're a lot like other health systems across the country. We employ about just shy of 2,000 physicians between our medical groups in Utah and our medical group in Nevada, and a third smaller group in Idaho. Overall, at our hospitals, we have about 3,000 physicians on staff with privileges, and a couple thousand more that actually have other types of access to the system across the Intermountain West, whether that might just be for patient referrals and ordering tests and things like that. So it's a mixed medical staff model. We believe that the partnership across multiple physician groups to care for a population, ideally sharing risk together, is really the path forward here for healthcare in America.
Thank you. And take a moment further on sort of what do you view, Mark, as your top three priorities this year as chief physician executive of such a huge system? How do you define that role, and what do you view as your top priorities?
Well, I think that for me, the three priorities are really crystal clear. The first is, I always start with people. And so I get up every day and I'm thinking about, my team is thinking about, how do we support our physicians, our nurse practitioners and physician assistants, the broader clinical teams? How are we supporting them in the work that they do, the amazing work they do every day? Do they have what they need? Are we aligned from a strategy perspective across the system? Are we working as one group across the system? Of course, honoring the local needs and local market priorities. But boy, can we count on the fact that when you present to one of our ERs with heart symptoms or stroke symptoms, we know we provide the same great care, whether that's taking place at our main campus in Salt Lake City or in one of our regional facilities up north and down south. And so that is the first priority for me. And part of that is also the well-being of our physicians and APPs. Look, this past year has been challenging, and it's a challenging year on top of some longstanding challenges that have been present in a physician enterprise. And so our team really spends a lot of time checking in with our colleagues. We're mentoring, peer support, making sure that they have access to a colleague, and if needed, access to any other type of employee assistant type program that they might need. And so we start with people. The second is a big focus on being the very best we can be in every moment in the care of our patients. With this year, of course, this past year, with additional focus on making sure that we understand where healthcare disparities are present, and we are acting. We're not talking about it. We're listening, we're learning, and we're acting to address those in all the right ways, because everyone deserves the same great care and that same great experience. And it should not matter what language you speak, what country you've come from, where your parents came from, or for any other reason. And then the third priority is I guess linked to that second one, but it's a little bit different. We know that there is increasing choice in healthcare with healthcare going digital, with people being more and more informed about the medical conditions they have, and having access to the very best healthcare providers across the country. A simple Zoom call or video call away. We know that we have to understand our customers, our consumers. We know that we have to keep moving forward from a digital perspective. And so those are big priorities of ours here at Intermountain.
So, Mark, you're having a terrific career both as a physician and a physician leader. And I see so many physician leaders that have pivoted in part in roles over the years and really thrive in the mix of roles and the ability to have this kind of pivot in their career and life to embrace leadership as well as being a physician leader generally or physician generally. What advice would you give to people, physicians, trying to have great careers as physician leaders? What advice do you give people?
You know, I'd say that the first thing is always know your why, you know, what drives you. I can tell you, Scott, that I know I drove my partners crazy. You know, here I'm like just fresh out of residency, a chief residency year. And yet I when I would see things and know that we could do better for others, that we could work together better as a team, I just had to work on those things. I had to have the conversations. I had to try to make change happen and actually make that change happen. And the why for me is really simple. We should be providing the best possible care in every moment for everyone we serve. And my goodness, we should be having a great time and experiencing great joy in that work as we do it. And so that's what drives it for me. And so I think if you're thinking about going into leadership, you should make sure you understand why you're making that choice. The second bit of advice I would give is, no matter what you're talking about, always keep people, you know, so patients, our colleagues, families, the community that you serve, always think about things from their perspective. Start with them, keep them in the center. Look, it's if you do that, it's really hard to get to, you know, to make a wrong decision. It's still possible, which, you know, I think that, you know, probably the third thing is, you know, be humble. You're going to have a lot of good ideas. You're going to make a lot of assumptions. You know, lead change with courage, lead change using all the best practices. So understand what your objectives are, understand and define those key performance indicators that are going to let you know whether or not you're meeting those objectives, that the assumptions you made are actually coming to fruition. And if they're not, then course correct. Stop doing that thing, modify it. Don't let pride or the fear of admission of that you got it wrong get in the way of doing the right thing in that moment. So, you know, lead change, move fast, be ready to pivot based on how you're performing. And probably in this space for physicians, I would just add, Scott, that reach out and lean on the experts who are there with you. Lean on and count on your nursing leader, your operations leader, your business partners in HR and analytics. Look, it leading through the type of change that this country deserves and that every community across the United States deserves, it requires courage and it requires a diverse group of committed leaders who bring their expertise and their ideas and their experiences to the table. So you're not in this alone. Lean on the team, ask for help, and you'll get to the outcomes that you're looking for.
And the other thing, Mark, when you're young and a senior chief resident, or you're working through things, there's this tremendous energy to not be able to let things go that are messed up. You can't help yourself. You want to improve them immediately, and you've got the energy, the drive, and vigor. How do you maintain that energy and drive and vigor to not let things be okay, but to make them great 30 years later? How do you maintain that attitude, that positive, that strength, that conviction? How do you do that?
Well, I think that's a little bit of it's a combination of really staying grounded in why you're doing what you're doing. My dad was a mechanic. I know I got my curiosity for solving tough problems from him. And so I was late in deciding to go to medical school. I just wasn't sure, but I knew once I had some experiences working for a rural county ambulance service as an EMT, you know, I knew this is what I wanted to do. and I knew why I wanted to do it. And so it really comes down to that alignment of mission, that sense of common purpose. I'd say the second thing is don't let work be everything. And so I have this amazing family. My wife, Lori, and I, we've raised three kids out here. And so I certainly really work hard, and am not perfect by any means. And if my wife was listening in, she'd be looking at me like, yeah, you still don't do as well as you should here. But taking time off, making sure you have good balance, with family, embracing the, a colleague of mine said this to me the other day, you know, embracing and finding the joy in the imbalance of life that comes with, roles where you have this deep commitment to helping people be better, to be healthy, to have great lives. Caring for self is really important. And then the third thing that's been important, Scott, is when there's an opportunity, when a door opens, you walk through it. You take every chance that presents itself to contribute, and look for and be proactive in developing new skills, taking on new projects. Don't get comfortable. Always be learning. Always be looking for the next thing to contribute to. And those things all together, to me at least, is the formula for maintaining just this deep and driving passion for helping people.
That's magnificent. And Mark, I'll ask you really the important question. The important question is, the three kids, downhill or Nordic skiing, which is the preference?
Well, with three kids, it's mostly downhill. I am of a certain vintage that I'll say for this year, I've done more skate skiing than downhill skiing, a combination of pandemic and as well as maybe the snow conditions to a certain degree out here in Utah. But boy, I got to tell you, the best days on the mountain have been when we're skiing with the kids. And in these past couple of years, it's been us chasing the kids. There's nothing like spending an afternoon, a bluebird type of day afternoon on the mountain and laughing a lot and having that fun and exercise of downhill skiing with the family.
And I guess the last question is, Utah's got some of the best skiing on earth, but multiple different sort of resorts and places to ski and so forth. I guess what's your top two places to ski out there as a true Utah person? Now, after 30 years, you get to count yourself as a true Utahian or Utah person.
Yeah. So I'm going to give a mixed answer because in many ways it kind of depends on the day and the year, but I can tell you that my wife and I grew up learning to ski at Solitude Resort in Big Cottonwood Canyon. There's a place there called Honeycomb Canyon that is just absolutely a super fun place to dive back into, and not a lot of people go there. There's nothing like a day at Alta after some powder. So skiing Catherine's area at Alta is just a blast on those days. These days lately, as we've gotten a little bit older and we think about family and friends and skiing together, Park City is great because it's such a huge resort. There's always a place to go to that works for everybody that you're skiing with. And so we spend a lot of time there now. So hopefully I spread that out so that no one resort felt advantaged or disadvantaged.
I thought you handled it really well. When you say Alta, does that include Snowbird too, or really two separate places entirely?
Well, you know, if you get the Icon Pass, you can ski both. I think you can ski both. It's hard to keep track of these multi-place passes now. But, you know, really, you can't go wrong going to Snowbird or Alta. Snowbird, I think probably has the most vertical in terms of the terrain. And so, you know, you're going to want to be really comfortable with steeper stuff when you're at Snowbird. But both of those are in Little Cottonwood Canyon. And look, I could add Snow Basin to that. That's where the, you know, that's where the downhill was held for the Olympics in 2002. There's really not a bad place to go if you head out this way.
And the only thing I need is the green slopes, and I'm okay. The greens and the maybe the easy blue, but then we're okay. Mark, what a pleasure to visit with you, and what a remarkable career and what a remarkable vantage point in Intermountain over a 30-year period of time, and a fascinating perspective on moving from the doctor center to the patient center over that 30-year period and that perspective. Thank you very much for joining us. Intermountain is one of the most impressive organizations in the country, and just a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you so much.
Scott, thank you. I really had a good time. Appreciate it.